Praise the Lord. Gives me a great privilege to be here once again to talk to us. I believe that the Almighty God has a message for somebody in this place today. And I want to believe that I'm the first person who will be the first partaker of the blessings of this prayer, of this ministration today. I am trusting the Almighty God that even as I have received the word from him, I am trusting that that word will find a place in our hearts and it will mix with faith in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to title this message, God is working it out for you. Tell somebody, say, God is working it out for you. God is working it out for you. And say it to yourself and say, God is working it out for me. God is at work for me. God is at work for you, brethren. God is at work for us in this house. God is at work for your family. He's at work for your destiny. But brethren, the interesting thing is, I don't know how many of us have been through, I know all of us must have at one time or the other, passed through places where we saw this inscription, men at work. But do you know that some of the time you don't see the men at work? But that sign is still there, that men are at work. We see it there. Sometimes you see them. As a matter of fact, sometimes by the time you meet them, they are very far from where you started seeing the sign of men at work. And so it takes faith for us to believe that men are actually at work sometimes. And I think sometimes we just assume, okay, they left it there. They must have finished work. And they left it there. Someday they are coming to remove it. You see, the way God works for us and in our lives is like that. It's like that. A lot of times we see the signs that God is at work. But we don't see him there. We don't see him there. But it does not mean that God is not at work. Sometimes we go all through the journey and we don't even have a physical feeling that he's there. But it does not rule out the fact that he's at work. It's just like this, you know, this same analogy I gave. The fact that we don't see those men there does not mean that some people have not seen them. Does not mean that if we go through the same place the following day, we will not meet them. It's only that maybe when we are passing through, we did not see them physically there. But if we look around, we will see their handwritings on the wall. So the way God works in our lives is like that. That a lot of times we don't see him. We don't feel him at all. We don't feel him. Or sometimes it takes a long time before we begin to see some signs that, okay, I think God is here. I think God is here. So it demands faith. It demands a lot of faith from us to be able to believe that God is actually at work. And that is where we are. That's why we are Christians. That's why we are Christians. That's why we are people of faith. The Bible says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The expectation of the things that we don't even see. We have not seen it. You have not seen those men, but you know, by the time you see the sign, you reduce your speed. You reduce your speed because you want to be careful. And so it's just like that spiritually. By the time we see that flicker, that, this is God. It increases our faith. Okay, God is actually in this place. But this morning, the message God is sending to us, that whether you see him there or not, whether you feel him or not, that he is actually there. And that reminds me, sometimes ago, you know, I was still back in Nigeria. And then there was a time when there were a lot of armed robbery, you know, events going on. And then we called a group of, in our neighborhood, we called some people. We said we wanted them to be watching the neighborhood. And then they told us, okay, we agree. And then, you know, the negotiation, I know most of us know what I'm talking about. And then they said, but this is something we need to understand. That sometimes you will not see us, but don't be afraid. They said, sometimes you won't see us. But don't be afraid. Nothing will go wrong. And you know what the people said? The landlord said, please, we want to see you. we want to see you. But those people said, so, no, you don't have to see us every time. But whether you see us or not, don't be afraid. And you see, that's what they said. And if we can believe people like us, men like us, why can't we believe God even when we don't see him? Why can't we believe God? When we don't feel Him, why can't we believe God? Because God is actually at work, whether we see Him or not. I want to read from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. But for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." That is the promise of God for us. The eyes have not seen those things. Ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for us. Because we love Him. Because we love Him. He's definitely preparing something for you. Preparing something for me. Because we love Him. But it says, "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit." And so that is where it starts from. It starts from the Spirit. We need to begin to see it from the Spirit realm. And it says, "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Because these things need for us to be able to search deep. The Bible says, "Deep calleth unto deep." We need to be in the Spirit realm. We need to be spirit beings for us to see what the Lord has not even done physically. We need to see it with the eyes of faith. Just like when God sent Abraham out, you know, he went out by faith. He went out by faith. So we need to be able to see it by the eyes of faith. I pray that God will give us such eyes in Jesus' name. Sometimes we are in such a hurry. We are too much in a hurry for the speed at which God is going. And that's one of the problems with us as Christians, because we want God to move at a particular speed, but God has His own speed. And He understands best. He's not going to be too early. He's not going to be too late. He's just going to be right on time. He's a God that does not forget. So sometimes it appears as if He has forgotten me, as if He's forgotten all about me. I know that sometimes some of us have even received words of prophecies from men of God, and we actually knew that these words were for us. But we don't see them coming to pass. And it appears as if God has forgotten us. It does not forget. The Bible says, though we forget the babes, though a mother forgets the babe of her suckling, that God does not forget us. He doesn't forget. It's only that you cannot determine the speed at which God is going to do it. You cannot determine how God is going to do it. Sometimes we program our minds, we program our lives, we program our understanding based on what we have heard, based on what we have seen before. But just like the song we just sang, God of wonders, God is a wonderful God. He's the one that can come in diverse kinds of ways. The Bible says He spoke unto our fathers in diverse ways. So He can come in so many different ways. He can appear to us in different ways. He can do one same thing in 10,001 ways. And so if we fix our minds, if we believe that, okay, this is how God is going to do it, sometimes it is possible that we even miss that opportunity. We miss the time. Or we delay. We delay the way God wants to do it. Because we put ourselves in a location where God does not want us to be at the particular time that He wants to do it. But that does not rule out the fact that God is still at work. He's just going after us, hoping that we will be there at the time that He wants to do it. I pray that He will find us there in Jesus' name. Sometimes we begin to eat. As Christians, we begin to eat what God is still cooking. God is still cooking it. You know, God is cooking it. I'm sure a lot of us, we understand. You know, especially our mothers who are here, our women that are here, they understand how that sometimes you are in the kitchen and, you know, it's still cooking. And then you begin to still take a bite of it. You know, sometimes we are like that as Christians. What God is still cooking, we begin to eat it. We don't want to wait for it to mature. We see a glimpse of it and then we run. It's just like, you know, the servant in the scripture who did not wait to get the message before he took a flight. He took a flight. I know some of us, you know, sometimes our children are like that. You are just beginning to tell them what to do, and then they have gone. And then they get there, they remember that they did not get the details. And they come back. So sometimes we are like that. We are like those, you know, those children in the hands of God. That God is still cooking it. It's yet to be done. But we have started to hit it. We can no longer wait for it to mature. It's taking too long for it to mature. Sometimes we begin to even try alternatives because God is, you know, is taking too long. Too long. Like, you know, the beans, some of the beans we used to cook that take very, very long. And then we keep going and coming, going and coming. I think American beans are better than the one we used to cook back in Nigeria. You know, you go, you keep going and coming, and it's never done. And then you begin to lose patience. You begin to try and taste a bite of it, then you take a spoon and, you know, because you are hungry. We are so hungry for the things that we want God to do. We are so anxious to see them happen that we don't even wait for our maker to do it in his own way. So we eat half-baked miracles. We consume half-baked miracles. Half-baked testimonies are the ones that we share sometimes. And then we return back and we don't find them there again. We return back there and they are not the way God actually wanted them to be. Why don't we be patient? That, just like that scripture says, that God has revealed it to us through the eyes of the Spirit, by the Spirit. We need to use the eyes of the Spirit to be able to see those things. May God open our eyes to see. In Jesus' name. Brethren, how many times have we avenged ourselves? How many times have we retaliated? How many times have we not waited for God? How many times have we not allowed God? You know, like we used to say, that I hand over this person to God's courts, to the court of God. How many of us can still say that today? That is fast becoming an old saying, that you hand him over, you hand her over, you hand them over to the court of God. You want to let go and just let God have his way. Let God handle it. How many times have we gone out to avenge ourselves and not leave God? Brethren, if you care to leave it to God, if you care to hand it over to God, or to hand him or to hand her over to God, you will pity the person. By the time God walks, the kind of God we serve is the one that when he starts to move, you will say, but I did not know it would be as much as that. You will almost want to start, you know, appealing to God. One of our brethren who left this place, you know, sometimes ago just called me and was sharing the testimony of what God did. Somebody who has afflicted them for so long, in so many different ways, and they just left this person to the hands of God. And by the time they started hearing, it's not that we want our enemies, you know, to suffer in the hands of God. But there are some people that no matter how much you seek peace with them, no matter how much you pray, they have determined to be an enemy. They have determined to be an agent of darkness, to be a stumbling block in your way. And people like that, so that you don't engage in unnecessary exercise, spiritual exercise, people like that, who want, you know, they want war, you hand them over to God. Just hand them over to God. By the time they started hearing what God has done with this person, as a matter of fact, I think he passed what the man did. You will wonder whether, you know, sometimes you just wonder whether the measure of God is such a grievous measure. You know, but it is because of the iniquity. The Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. You know, because sometimes it is not even the things that people do that we see with our eyes. There are times that it is the things that are going on their hearts against us that God sees, because we are the children of God. God sees the things that are going on in the hearts of men against his children, and God decides to take vengeance on our behalf. That is if we let him. But if we let him, and God decides to take vengeance, sometimes you wonder, what did this person do? You want to sympathize with them. You want to go all out to actually help them. I pray that God will help us to see when somebody is suffering from what, you know, they have done against us, and God is actually afflicting them for that, because you don't want to be a part of it at that time. Brethren, the message to us this morning is that when God is avenging for you, let him. Let God. Let God. Let God. Don't take it up on yourself to avenge yourself, because you cannot even do it. The Bible says the weapon of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God. Some of us may be in such oppression in our places of work. Hand it over to God. Surrender them to God. Don't engage in exchange of words. Don't engage in it. Because by the time we do that, we'll begin to shift ground. We need to be found to be right standing on the holy ground for God to be able to avenge on our behalf. But by the time you engage in exchange of words, you'll be saying things that the enemy, the devil, will use against us. That's okay, he said it. Oh, she said that. But let us leave it to God. Let us leave it to God. And the Almighty God that we serve is going to take it up on our behalf. But you know what? God does not come quickly to do that sometimes. It's just like some of us will wonder, so why hasn't God answered our prayers concerning this Boko Haram people in Nigeria, or the ISIS, and you know, all these Al-Qaeda people? Hasn't God heard our prayers? We have prayed and prayed. Christians are even being killed. But it does not mean that God has forgotten. God is still at work. God is still at work. So, but sometimes when God is at work, things are even contrary. Things may be going contrary to the direction in which we expect them to go. It does not rule out the fact that he's still there. It does not rule out the fact that someday God is going to catch up. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, it said, because reward for evil deed is not quickly rewarded. Because God does not quickly reward evil deed. The hearts of men is set in them to do evil. Because God does not appear quickly to say. Somebody one day told me, said, oh, if he were God, he would just stretch his hands from heaven and slap, you know, somebody. But you know, that is man. That's how man does. That's how man thinks. That's how man thinks. You see, but God works in his own way. He is still at work. And he's going to mete out commensurate vengeance in his own way. In Jesus' name. Brethren, the other thing we need to know is that when we commit somebody to the hands of God, when we commit them to the hands of God, we are only saying that God is the only one who can do it. That God is the only one who can do it. And that means that we have to surrender to that same God, because we know that he is the one that can do it. So the onus is on us to surrender to him, who is going to fight our battles for us, who is going to walk a walk for us on our behalf. Is the person that we have commissioned, we have asked to take it over from us and go ahead for us. And that's why we need to believe in him, we need to trust in him, that the one that we have committed it into his hands is able to do it. Total surrender is expected from us. There is a time of preparation sometimes when God is going to work out something in our lives. That is a time of preparation. That is a time that God prepares us for the things that he's going to. We read in the scriptures in the book of 1 Corinthians, we just read chapter 2, that the things that he has prepared for us, as God is preparing something for us, he's preparing us also for that thing. As God is preparing a house for us, he's preparing us also for that house. As God is preparing a future for us, he's preparing us also for that future. As God is preparing a ministry for you, he's preparing you for that ministry. Jesus Christ did not start his ministry until he was 30 years old. Not because he did not know what he came to do. Not because he did not know. Sometimes we are so convinced of what we need to do next that we want to jump out and begin to do it. We are so sure, especially, you know, children in the houses, they are so sure of the next thing that they don't want to even listen to the advice of the parents. They are so sure of what God wants them to go and do that they cannot even wait to hear any instruction from the father or the mother, because they are so sure. That was not the case with Jesus Christ. He knew why he left the glory. And he came. Let's open to the book of Luke. Let me just read the book of Luke so that we can know that I'm talking from the scriptures. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Luke 3, 23. Luke 3, 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. What and sound, if you have another translation, maybe NIV or so, please, you can project it for us. You don't have, okay. If somebody has another translation, you can read for us. You have another translation. NIV, yeah. That's it. That's okay. Thank you. God bless you, man. Bible says there that Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. And he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. The Son of God that knew what he ought to do. He knew why he came. He had a full understanding of everything. But he knew that God was preparing him in 30 years. In 30 years. He knew that there was a time of preparation. The Bible says he was 30 years old when he began his ministry. So 30 years he was going around with an understanding of what he came to do. He knew what he came to do. He had everything to do what he came to do. But he was going around for 30 years before he began his ministry. Do we wait for that long? Any longer? Do we wait? Do we wait for that long again? Do we wait for that long? Do we who have a call of God on our lives to be ministers, do we actually wait for the tutelage that God wants to pass us through, to take us through, before we go out and begin to manifest? Don't we just go out and say we know it all, and then we begin to manifest? Too soon, too early, without the appropriate preparation. God needs to prepare us to be fully ready for what he has prepared for the glory that he has prepared for us. It's true that the Bible says that eyes have not seen those things, ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for us. But God, at the same time, wants to prepare us. If it took God to prepare Jesus, if Jesus subjected himself to this preparation for 30 years, and he started his ministry at the age of 30, why can't we wait for God to continue his work? Why can't we wait? Why do we have so many, how they say, high school dropouts? This college dropouts, maybe elementary school dropouts now. You know, dropouts, because they can no longer wait. Because they know, they already know. They already know. They have graduated like, you know, the bus conductors who will not wait to graduate. And then they go, they grab the steering and they begin to drive it anyhow. Because nobody can wait again. Nobody believes that God is at work any longer. Brethren, we need to appreciate that if only we will enter into the fullness of what God is preparing for us, there is a time of preparation. There is a time for us to understand that God is still at work, whether we see him or not. That's the only thing that guarantees that we will get there in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe we have been praying. We have been praying in the morning, praying at night. Yes, the Bible says it. It says, sow in the morning, in the evening, don't withhold your hands from sowing. The Bible recognizes that you may sow in the morning and it will not germinate at that time. It may not be the one to germinate. Why is it that when a farmer goes to, you know, to sow seeds, they don't just put one? I know some of us have been there in farming. You don't put one grain of corn in the hole that you dug there. You put like two or three. Because this one may not germinate. Maybe it will be this one. Maybe it will be that one. And so that is the way it is. We pray in the morning and then we are tired. We think, okay, I've prayed and it has not happened. Or maybe we go and we plant. We have sowed our seed of maybe 3-4 corns and then we begin to open it every day. It will never germinate. You open it today. This thing is not growing. And then tomorrow you get to the farm, you open it again. It's not going to ever grow because you continue to open it. You don't believe that something is incubating under the earth for you and that it's going to sprout someday. That's how prayers are. Prayers are like loading the cloud. They are like the evaporation of the rain. Of the rain from the ground, of the waters from the ground, going to the heavens and loading the cloud. Someday they are going to fall. That's why the Bible says, sow in the morning, in the evening, don't withhold your seed. Don't withhold your hand from sowing. Because you don't know which one will germinate. Whether the ones you sow in the morning or the one in the evening. Brethren, I want to enjoin us. Let us continue to sow in prayer. Let's continue to load our cloud. God does not forget. God does not forget. One day is coming to rain. It's going to rain so much that you will be overwhelmed by the rain that God is going to pour down in answer to your prayers of today and of years gone by. I pray that God will give us that grace for waiting in Jesus' name. There are a few challenges. I just want to quickly go through and then we'll move on from there. A few challenges that we face in this waiting business. There are a few challenges. One of the challenges we face is the fact that things are contrary. Things sometimes go so contrary to what we believe, to what we have heard, to what we have seen, to what we have even seen with the eyes of faith, to the promises we have received. Things sometimes go so contrary. Just like Joseph, he had a dream that he would be on the top and then he was on the way down. He had a dream that he would be on the top, but the next day he started to go all the way down. It was going contrary, opposite to the dreams, the goals, opposite to the prophecies. So it happens like that. The children of Israel were promised that they were going to leave Egypt and they were going to the promised land. But the promised land never came for so long. As a matter of fact, they went through the wilderness experience and it became so protracted that they complained a lot, they murmured. The Bible says some of them died in the wilderness because they murmured. Because they murmured. So sometimes because the wilderness is getting so protracted, the wind is blowing so contrary to every belief, the time is run. It seems to be running out on us. Not running out on God, not running out on the speed at which God is going to do it. But it begins to run out. We think that the time is running out. And that becomes a challenge to us. I have to do something. Time is running out. The door is closing. Oh, they are already getting, the spaces are getting filled up. Oh, I may not be able to meet anything again. So we begin to wonder, is God still at work? Brethren, God is at work. Whether the children of Israel murmured and some of them died because of their murmuring did not rule out the fact that some of them made it to the promised land. But it took a long time. God still proved to them that he was at work. Let's quickly read Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Word and sound, please, if you can get it on the screen so that I think time is running out. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Please go to verse 16. Verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove to thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. Brethren, that is the time that we don't wait for. That's the time that we don't believe we ever come, the latter end. We don't believe it will ever come. They were being humbled in the wilderness. They were being tried. They were being proven in the wilderness because God wanted to do them good in the latter end. Unfortunately, most of them did not wait till the latter end. They saw the beginning. They did not see the end of it because they failed the trials that God passed them through. My prayer this morning is that as God is making us to pass through some things, I don't know, whatever we are passing through at this time, that we will have the grace, we will have the patience to wait so that we will be there at the latter end where God is going to do us good in Jesus' name. So sometimes it doesn't look like it was promised us. It does not look like in the kind of picture we saw. This doesn't look like what I saw. It doesn't look like what I dreamt about. It doesn't look like what they told me. Of course, Lazarus died and he was there stinking for 4 days. That did not look like somebody who had a friend who could raise him up. And he was there, he was stinking. But it did not rule out the fact that God was still at work. Because God put him to sleep so that he will manifest his glory by raising him up. God is going to manifest his glory in your life and my life in Jesus' name. Brethren, sometimes the pressures are so much on us. Family pressures. Oh, you have to have brought, I want to be carrying my grandchild. By now you should have brought somebody. By now you should have called us, you know. By now you should have brought home, you know, some. You should have been able to be paying our bills. You should have got a job. You know, pressures may be on us. Pressures, family pressures, peer pressures, pressures that were on Saul. Pressures that were on Saul, and he could not wait for Samuel to come for the sacrifice. He said, the people, so many things the people make us to do, but the people will not stand there when it begins to happen to us. I pray it will not happen to us, the contrary. But when it begins to happen to those who don't wait for God to come and do the sacrifice himself, for God to bring us to that latter end, when things begin to happen to them, when the consequences of not waiting begin to happen to them, those people will not be there. They will take off. They move to the next bus stop. So the pressures from people, like the pressures that were on Saul, and he went ahead and did what a priest should be doing. He went ahead and offered sacrifice, something that was expected of a priest. And he said, but the people. And you know, unfortunately, as soon as he did that, the priest showed up. That's how it is. And the English people say the darkest part of the night is closest to the dawn. It happens most of the time. Like the time that we lose patience most is the time that it's about to happen. That's the time that it is about to happen. And then that is the time that we give up. And then it happens after. The time that we just gave up, and then God shows up. Brethren, my prayer this morning is that God will give us grace to wait, to believe that he is at work. And whatever God is doing on your behalf, on my behalf, is going to show up suddenly very soon in Jesus' name. Brethren, it is about time. It's about time for us to begin to live by faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by the belief that the things that they cannot see, they exist. That the things that they have had, they will come to pass. It's about time for us to begin to live by faith. That man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That should be the prayer of most of us today. That God, I believe. Because we are all believers. We are all believers. Not that we don't believe, but we still need God to help our unbelief. Because there's still a kind of unbelief in us. We still have an iota of unbelief in us. We believe certain things, but we don't believe certain things. So the things that we don't believe, those are the things that we need to pray for, that God should help us to believe. I pray God will help us to believe in Jesus' name. Let God prepare us. Let him purify us for what God is preparing for us in Jesus' name. Brethren, when Isaac asked, I don't want to, you know, be reading those passages of the scriptures. I'm sure we are familiar with them because of our time. Isaac was going with his father to the sacrifice, and he asked his father, Abraham. He said, we have the rope, we have the wood. Where is the sacrifice? And his father said, God will provide. And this young man continued to follow his father by faith that God will provide. A lot of times we talk about Abraham. We don't even see that the son actually also had faith that God will provide. Because he continued to follow. The Bible does not tell us that he asked that question the second time. So he must have believed. Because the father told him, God will provide. So he continued the journey with the father. And suddenly God provided. Or he provided. He provided because of the faith of this young man and the faith of the father, which we need to pray for this morning. I pray God will give us in Jesus' name. Brethren, what do we need to do? now that we are waiting. What do we need to do now that God is at work? We all believe that God is at work. God is doing something. He's working something out. The first thing we need to do, like I said earlier, is we need to have faith that He is at work. We need to have faith that He is doing it. And that's what makes us different from the people of the world who will begin to seek alternatives. We need to have faith that God is actually at work. We need to have faith that God will actually provide, like Isaac, like Abraham, that God will provide. We need to have faith. We need to believe that the one that has promised is able to do it. The Bible says, blessed is she that believes that there will be a performance of the things that was spoken to her of the Lord. The things that God has spoken to us, God will make them do. He will bring them to pass. Brethren, we only need to know, to believe that He's there, He's at work, so that we don't hurriedly begin to look for alternatives. So we need to have faith that He that has promised is able to make them do. We also need to claim those things. We also need to claim them. Let us claim them. Let us prophesy them. Let us prophesy them. Let us claim them on a regular basis that God has given this to me. Wheresoever the soles of my feet will step, God has given me for a possession. Let us confess it that God has given it to me. I possess it. Let us pray it. Let us believe it. That's the other thing we need to do. We need to continue to pray. Let us continue to pray until it happens. Let us pray until it happens, until it appears. Let us not cease in praying. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Let us pray and pray until it happens. Don't give up. God hears. His hands are not too short to save us. His ears are not too heavy to hear us. Let us believe that, and God is going to do it for us. He's going to make it to happen in His time. In His time, just like that song says, in His time. It's never too late. It's never too early. He does it in His own time. If only we will wait for His own time, He's going to do it in Jesus' name. Brethren, I want us to rise up on our feet. I want